Thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome back to The Late Debate. Tonight we're discussing the ongoing story involving the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, or GSOC. Today its chairman, Simon O'Brien, told the Oireachtas Public Oversight and Petitions Committee that he believed his offices were under some form of surveillance last year. He and two of his colleagues spent 4.5 hours answering questions from committee members. This was his explanation for undertaking a security sweep of his building, the results found and the suspects identified.
Throughout 2012, we spent considerable time negotiating privately with AGS on Garda Síochána around our operational protocols, addressing issues of timeliness and other issues of inter-agency cooperation. Towards the end of 2012, we took a strategic decision that we need to air publicly some dissatisfaction with the level of cooperation we were receiving from AGS on Garda Síochána. This resulted in us making very public comment around the publication of one report following a sensitive investigation. For example, on the 9th of May 2013, we took the unusual step of submitting to the Minister a special report in accordance with Section 85 of the Garda Síochána Act. That special report contained some highly critical comments in relation to our relationship with the Garda Síochána. A few weeks later, on 23rd May 2013, we also made some further criticism of Garda Síochána's adherence to our operational protocols in our annual report. This was a level of publicity and controversy which was unusual for the Commission. In the context of this public profile, we did then have heightened concern about confidentiality, particularly in light of some public discourse appearing to be exceptionally well informed. For that reason, consideration was given to the engagement of the Irish firm, which had previously undertaken such a security sweep for this organisation. On 9 June 2013, contact was made with the Irish service provider. It was established that the firm was no longer operational. Further inquiries were made with oversight bodies similar to GSOC in Northern Ireland and England and Wales to establish whether a suitable resource to undertake this work existed. On 3 September 2013, contact was made with a UK service provider. On 23rd to 27th September 2013, in accordance with standard operating procedures, a security sweep was conducted at GSOC offices. Two potential threats were identified during the security sweep of 23rd to 27th September 2013. Threat one, a wireless device located in the boardroom, the Commission's conference room, was found to have connected to an external Wi-Fi network. Access to this wireless device was protected by a password. Absent this password, the device should not have been able to connect to that external Wi-Fi network. As GSOC does not have a Wi-Fi network, this device has never been activated by GSOC and its password was unknown. Its connection to an external network was, therefore, a concern. The device, although Wi-Fi enabled, was unable to communicate with any of GSOC's databases or electronic systems. Threat two. As part of the security checks, the conference call telephone unit located in the chairman's office was subject to a number of tests. One was called an alerting test. Immediately after this test, the conference phone line rang. Security expert judged that the likelihood of a wrong number being called at that time to that exact number was so small as to be virtually zero. GSOC conducted a number of telecoms checks to establish the source of this telephone call, but was unable to do so. On 7th October 2013, after confirmation paperwork was received from the specialist firm, the investigation team assessed these two threats. On 8th October 2013, a public interest investigation was launched pursuant to Section 1024 of the Garda Síochána Act 25. The investigation was launched on the basis that the Acting Director of Investigations was of the opinion that, to the extent that these threats could be proven, Section 1024 engaged. That is to say that such surveillance may have originated within AGS on Garda Síochána, and, if so, a member of AGS on Garda Síochána may have committed an offence or behaved in a manner that justified discipline proceedings. As part of that investigation, the specialist firm was re-engaged and a number of steps were undertaken, including assessing retained telecommunications. Threat three. During a visit by the specialist firm on 19 and 20 October 2013, it detected a UK 3G network. The UK networks do not operate within Ireland except in border areas. They advised us that such a network can only be simulated through a specialised device. The device simulated a UK mobile phone network, which pick up UK phones registered to that network. Once a phone has been connected, it can be forced to disable call encryption, make the call data vulnerable to the inception and recording. The specialist firm indicated that this level of technology is only available to government agencies. Preliminary results. Analysis of these threats was inconclusive. Absent any further clarification, the Commission could not simply proceed on the basis that these issues were purely innocent or coincidental. Accordingly, the Commission conducted a specific operational test on 19th November 2013. This was coordinated by the security firm and involved a GSOC investigation team. It also involved the three commissioners to test these issues. This operational test yielded no results. The report was in my possession only just prior to the Christmas break. I had to think very carefully about the need to report matters to the Minister and other parties. At that time, I made a strategic decision not to report what could be described as suspicious activity that did not meet the threshold of an offence. I have said before in my briefing to the Minister and my briefing to the Garda Commissioner that I regret my decision now. My decision-making at the time, just prior to Christmas, looked at the potential damage that could be done to the public confidence if these suspicious activities were in the public domain.
That was the chairman of GSOC, Simon O'Brien, speaking at that Oireachtas hearing today. Well, with me in studio tonight are John Mooney, who broke the story for the Sunday Times newspaper. He's their security correspondent. Sinn Féin TD, Padraig McLaughlin, who chaired today's hearing. Michelle Mulheron of Fine Gael, who's also on the committee. And Mark Kelly, who is director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. You're all very welcome indeed. Padraig McLaughlin, did today answer all the questions and put the matter to bed, or are we very far from that tonight?
It certainly did not answer all the questions. There's probably more questions than answers following today's meeting. Our committee have met tonight, and I can confirm that we have issued a statement where we express our grave concerns at the evidence presented to us, that there are serious remaining questions, and that the next actions we intend to take is we have invited the Minister for Justice, Equality and Defence, Alan Shatter, to come before us, hopefully as soon as possible, certainly next week. And we've also going to be corresponding with GSOC tomorrow morning, seeking an unredacted version of the security report that they received in on a confidential basis, so that we can assess that as a committee. So that's the next two steps. And after that, we'll deliberate further.
OK, a couple of questions just before we move to the other guests. What did you hear today that prompted these grave concerns that perhaps you may not have already had?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll speak on a personal basis, because I don't want everything I say to be construed as the views of the committee. What I've just said is the views of the committee. On a personal basis, what caused me concern was that first of all, that the GSOC chairman of the commission confirmed that he did suspect that they were under, and still does, that they were under surveillance attack, which is now clear. Secondly, that he did suspect at a stage Angarda Síochána. He added that there might have been others, but Angarda Síochána were one of the suspects. And indeed, he commenced an investigation under the law on that basis. This is new developments, and it's a very different report from what the Minister gave us in the Dáil last night, where he talked about baseless innuendo in relation to this. So there are so many issues. The public, I think when the public get the full, because obviously there was so much happened today and it gets reported immediately, but I think when the public are aware of the full facts as they emerge, they will be deeply concerned.
So you didn't know before today that GSOC suspected Angarda Síochána?
It wasn't confirmed by them, no. It wasn't confirmed in the Dáil last night by Minister Shatter. And, you know, what he presented to the Dáil, and he chose to use this word. I don't even think this was in his speech. We couldn't find it in the speech, but he used the word, it's reported, baseless innuendo. Which, you know, was a very strong word to say there's nothing to see here, time to move on.
Whereas in his opening statement today, Simon O'Brien made it very clear that the acting director of investigations for GSOC did believe that such surveillance may have originated with An Garda Síochána.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's so much to this. I mean, you know, it's quite clear that they... In the second half of 2013, they sought to get their hands on international experts, not just any old security consultancy, but as good as they could get, based on a recommendation from their sister organisation in Britain. And to me, that suggests that they were concerned about the scale of the threat.
But the point, Porrick, is that they suspected An Garda Síochána, but then in their statement, they said there was no evidence of Garda misconduct.
See, the difficulty in this whole area, and the chairman of the commission acknowledged this at a point, is that it's very hard in modern surveillance to actually prove, to have... It's not like years ago where you'd find a bug in the phone in the movies or you'd see something behind a wall. You know, it's very, very hard to have tangible evidence. But they clearly, as far as I think they could have said today, they clearly felt that they were the victims of a surveillance attack. And... you know, the first few days after the Sunday Times report, the focus was on why GSOC hadn't reported to the minister and the government. They're not legally required. That's established. No doubt about that now. They weren't. But now I think the focus has to go on who conducted a surveillance attack on GSOC.
And do you accept that An Garda Síochána are no longer suspects?
No, and you can't say that they did it either. I mean, I think that, this is where... You know, my own personal view and the view of my party is there needs to be an independent inquiry into all of this now. And there needs to be a full... And whoever does this needs to have the full assistance of technical experts who know and understand this and can definitively rule on what actually happened, because that's the difficult... A lot of us are operating in a vacuum in terms of that. But I think there's a number of things that are much clearer today in a very long session. And I think that's... I it's been back and forth around GSOC, but I think now it's very clear that's, you know... That they have acted, you know, honourably throughout this. And the only thing that people might say is maybe they made a mistake in not bringing it into the public domain when it happened at that time. That's a difficulty for them now. But I think that's it's quite clear. I certainly would say the public should start to shift their support to where it always should have been from the get-go. Why an independent ombudsman with profound responsibilities in this democracy was under a surveillance attack? It's a real threat to our democracy, in my view, my personal view.
Michelle Mulhern, you're on that committee as well. Presumably your name is on that statement where you have grave concerns. Do you go further, like Padraig McLoughlin, and have those specific concerns about why the Garda Ombudsman was under surveillance and who put them under surveillance?
Well, I don't think it's been established that the Garda Ombudsman has been under surveillance. And I think the most thing that was established today is, and that the biggest security breach is coming from within and is from whoever leaked a confidential private report. In relation to what the minister had to say, I believe it's the case that not only was there a 2.5-hour briefing of the minister prior to his making a statement before the Dáil, but that was also given in writing. So I'm quite sure that the minister was basically anything the minister had to say was what he had been instructed by GSOC
so
at the time.
So even though Simon O'Brien said that he believes that GSOC were under some form of surveillance, are you saying you don't believe that?
No, I'm not saying that. And of course, he's entitled to feel that or whatever word you want to put on it. But the fact is that they were concerned. They had what they have described as a standard operating sweep. They did that. And the two anomalies were identified. And it's after those two anomalies were identified that we now learn that it was actually they invoked a statutory investigation, public interest investigation, which I hadn't been aware of before that. And part of that is to say that the surveillance may have been emanating from An Garda Síochána such that an offence may have arisen, which is quite serious. I'm not saying that there wasn't surveillance, but they have investigated it, and basically their own Mr. O'Brien's statement today is that it's inconclusive. And not after the initial two anomalies were found, they undertook the public interest investigation. They found this third anomaly. They looked at things again, and they went in again on another sweep, one more sweep, and nothing at all was found. And I suppose at that point it was open to them to say, well, you know, we need to do more, we need to investigate this more. But they decided not to, and also they decided not to report it. So, I mean, that's all within their jurisdiction to do. So, as I say, I don't see evidence. There's, as they described themselves initially, technical and electronic anomalies. Mm. But evidence of breaching of databases or information coming out, at least to date anyway, that there hasn't been any of that, and they haven't indicated that that's the case. They're concerned because of I think particularly the telephone, the second anomaly identified, seemed to be of most concern to them.
OK, John Mooney, what do you say to that?
I'm sitting here in disbelief at what I've just heard, to be perfectly frank with you. This whole matter goes back to a collusion investigation, the Garda Ombudsman Commission were investigating, going back a number of years. I was actually involved in it. Actually, I'll just quote Enda Kenny when he was in opposition, saying this was the Ciarán Boylan affair, where he was demanding that the government of today provide explanations. I want to give the government to give a full explanation of these cases. We'll be tabling questions on the nature of the inquiry into Boylan and why he isn't before the courts and where he was caught with such large amounts of drug, heroin and cocaine. This was a drug trafficker who was working with a group of guards in the Dublin area who surfed away to promotion on the basis of turning a blind eye to his activities in return for setting up people, including very young men in the Dublin area, for arrest. And GSOC were in the middle of a very, very sensitive investigation into that, which revealed all sorts of wrongdoing and I suppose what could be only described as corruption within the intelligence services. And this particular escapade, or what's been happening to the commission, followed on as they were drawing to a close their big public interest inquiry into this. And there were various people within the state apparatus who desperately needed to know what they knew. And if you're asking me, and it's a very well-informed opinion, this is what this is all about. I am, to be perfectly frank, astonished at what's going on at government level. I remember Pat Rabbit, when he was a justice spokesman in opposition, screaming from the rooftops about Ciarán Boylan being given a haulage licence on the basis of false documentation and information to the Department of Transport. I remember when this individual, who I'd say his associates were issuing threats against myself and others, was being brought up and being charged, and then the charges dropped secretly and then recharged again and again. Charges dropped secretly in discreet manners to try and get this fellow off because he'd so much dirt on the guards. Mm. There was a lot of people at risk over what had happened, because this all totally contravened the new rules that were brought in following the Morris Tribunal. And I am actually astounded at what's happening at government at this level. Brendan Howland himself, I was a witness in the Morris Tribunal. I've done a lot of work on security issues in the last 15 years. Brendan Howland was one of, I remember, he played a very noble role in exposing what happened there. And the silence of the Labour Party on this matter is absolutely deafening. How anyone at all could suggest, I'm just speechless at these kind of defences that, well, nothing can be proven. Simon O'Brien was very categoric tonight, and I know modern surveillance was to deal with this stuff for a living. It doesn't leave traces. You can't prove that someone has done something because it's so high tech. We published a report last week which has been proved to be pretty accurate, despite Alan Shatter and Enda Kenny's attempts to play.
And your implication tonight, John, about who was behind it is pretty clear as well.
But who is behind it, because I think there's two issues here. You have to differentiate between the guards as an organisation and elements within the security forces that are doing their own thing and have the know-how and the knack to do this stuff on the QT and abuse state systems. I can hazard a guess at this because I've pretty familiar with the types of people were that may be suspected of involvement in this and what might be motivating them. But at the end of the day, this has developed into something else now. We, the Justice Minister, stood up in the Dáil yesterday and poured cold water on the most serious allegations to come out concerning spying and espionage, illegal, should I say.
But he was doing it on the basis, it seemed, of GSOC's own statement from the day before.
I'm not so sure that Alan Shatter has been so forthcoming. Again, baseless innuendo, given what the security report has stated and what we published in the Sunday Times, it's quite clear that this isn't baseless innuendo. They were running state-of-the-art counter-surveillance tests on their internal communications and external communication system. And anyone who knows anything about a black operation, which this is, that's a spying operation that's run off the books and is deniable, that the first thing you do when you organise these is give yourself an exit strategy. And if you're asking me, my worthless opinion is the bits and pieces that they found during these screening tests were the loose ends that whoever was running this forgot to tie up and have left a signature which showed that something was going on.
Okay.
But again, I think you have to go back to this. You've a number of issues here. You've the comments and the statements that Alan Shatter gave to the Dáil yesterday. You have the unprecedented situation where Enda Kenny, the Taoiseach of this state, went off and gave comments that were completely inaccurate about the legislative requirements of the Garda Ombudsman. And you have the bizarre situation, like it's just feeding into this problem about the administration of justice, whereby Alan Shatter, for example, there was information read into the Dáil record about the confidential recipient. We were trying this evening to find out, has the Justice Department done anything about this? These are the most incredible allegations being made, and I don't think there has been a thing. I was asking tonight, it was something that I'm very deeply interested in. It seems now that I'm the subject of some sort of investigation. Did Alan Shatter sign a warrant for surveillance on the Garda Ombudsman? I still can't get an answer on that. So I think this is gravely important. I think there was a real serious attempt by the state to cover this up in the last 2 days.
Okay.
And I think it's blown up in their
Michelle,
faces.
I'll come back to you in a minute because I do want to get your response, but I want to bring Mark Kelly in because we haven't heard from him yet. Mark Kelly, from your point of view, what is the significance of today's evidence to the hearing, and what questions are we left with?
Well, I think the significance of today's hearing is that we're in the kind of astonishing position that an Oireachtas committee and apparently GSOC and the Minister and the Garda Commissioner and the Irish people are waiting for John Mooney to publish something on the front page, presumably of the Sunday Times this Sunday, in order to have some more information. I think that's extraordinary. And I share his astonishment at hearing Michelle say that the biggest security breach that was disclosed today was the leaking of the report. I thought that, with due respect to Porrick's excellent chairing of the session, that a huge amount of time was spent on something that is effectively a red herring. It's very obvious that the report has been leaked. But the biggest security breach is what was confirmed today by GSOC, which is that they suspect that they were subject to surveillance. So for me, I mean, it takes us back to the statement that Alan Shatter gave in the Dáil, and we've been studying it very carefully. It repays careful study because it's very, very carefully written. And there's at least one thing in it, that this statement upon which reliance was placed, that there's no definitive evidence, presumably evidence in the legal evidentiary sense, of unauthorised technical or electronic surveillance. Now, that statement this evening might still be true because there's no definitive evidence yet that reaches the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt. That's effectively what Simon O'Brien said this afternoon. But he also said, as Podrick has been commenting, that they consider that they were subject to surveillance and the chance that it was benign was low. In fact, he said that there was a very, very small chance that it was innocent. So the question remains, in the first instance, was there or not lawful surveillance? I'm interested to hear John put it as bluntly as that. The Garda Special Branch, the Defence Forces Intelligence Branch, G2, and also very implausibly the Revenue Commissioners, have powers under legislation from 1993 and 2009 to carry out lawful surveillance. And I find it really astonishing that neither the minister nor the Garda commissioner have come forward definitively to confirm that no lawful surveillance was authorised. So I think that's a great big question.
And we'll hear what Mick Wallace, the question he put to Simon O'Brien in a minute. But Michelle, I want to come back to you. And having listened to Mark Kelly and to John Mooney, do you acknowledge that this is an extremely serious situation?
Of course, it's very serious. And first of all, I think we are getting into some sort of innuendo here. The minister has categorically stated that he didn't know anything about this until it appeared in the Sunday Times. And since then, which is about 3 days later, we have to allow some due process to take place, allow people to brief the minister, as in the ombudsman, and allow things to unfold. Now, obviously, John is suggesting and is stating, and I'm not doubting him, he is privy to some evidence and has a long history of looking at these sort of security type situations. But in all fairness, you know, firstly, I'd like to say that I think we do want to get to the truth of this. An investigation has been carried out. Any view that I might have will be based on evidence, not on, you know, some idea that this may have happened or this may not have happened. So at this stage, The Garda Ombudsman has briefed the minister. The minister has made a statement. They are to furnish a report. I don't know if the minister has got this confidential report as of yet. I think actually the biggest issue is what's happening in GSOC in relation to whoever has volunteered this information, because surely, aside from any technical or electronic anomalies that might have been identified, surely that maybe is the obvious or a possible source for any information leaks that GSOC perceive or the Ombudsman might see.
You're echoing what Michael Healy Ray said to the committee today, that perhaps whoever leaked the report is responsible for putting GSOC
well,
on the surveillance. This
is possible. And look, really,
I really have to interrupt here. This is going for the sublime to the ridiculous, what you've just said. And to be perfectly frank with you, I'm sitting here and, you know, you're a young TD and I have to pinch myself and ask, you know, to actually, am I hearing you properly in terms of what you've just said? The fact of the matter is that Simon O'Brien and the other members of the commission stated that they believed they'd been surveilled. As he stated himself, modern technology and surveillance techniques don't leave categoric evidence, but certainly there was, to quote himself, the stuff that the test they were carrying out on the phone was not benign, and there was grave issues. They didn't go to these sort of lengths on the basis of figments of their imaginations. And to suggest in any way that the person who was surveilling the Garda Ombudsman's office somehow may have been a contact of mine or something like that. It's just, quite frankly, unbelievable that you would actually say that in a national broadcaster. This is a matter of our democracy. And this, I mean, I'm astonished at any Fine Gael TD saying that, for the simple reason is that when this government was elected to power, they spoke about putting the past behind. They spoke about bringing in transparency and democracy in a new and transparent way. What Alan Shatter told the Dáil yesterday bore no resemblance to anything like that. And what you're actually doing here is simply just batting for the party on matters that are just so bananas. You know, I have to say, are you thinking through what you're actually saying?
Well, the biggest issue facing
GSOC at the moment is where the Sunday Times got information from last week, and not the fact that they were investigating matters of serious police corruption in this state involving drug trafficking of a product that kills young people in this country. And you're telling me that the source of our information is far more significant than their investigations and the fact that someone went to such extreme lengths to find out what were going on. I mean, really, is that what Fine Gael are about these days?
You're joining up a lot of dots, which I cannot see. And this isn't a party issue. This is about standing back and maybe not getting caught up in some conspiracy theory without actually having proper evidence. Now, in relation to the concerns that the Garda Ombudsman had, a public interest investigation was initiated, conducted, carried out, and still it was inconclusive. Now, the Garda Ombudsman is independent, so I think that in respect to that, as a politician, in respect of the independence that they need to have to do their job in independent fashion, a very important job, which is the oversight in relation to any misconduct of Gardaí that's reported to them, then I need to take a step back. And I can't just be running to conclusions. We're 3 days post the story breaking, and I believe that the correct position is not to jump to a conclusion that there must be a public inquiry, because the ordinary person out there and the person who's applying some sort of common sense to this would dictate that certain things unfold and then you make decisions. Certain things unfold. First of all, there's going to be an internal investigation into, in relation to how the information. And
sorry, is that into the surveillance or into information to the Sunday Times? But there are two very different issues. Mm.
You know,
do you not understand that?
You would be well aware that investigators within GSOC and even people who are not investigating generally in government departments sign confidentiality agreements pursuant to the public. Are you talking about
an investigation into the Sunday Times or an investigation into surveillance against the Garda Ombudsman? Can you just clarify?
Well, it's already been investigated, as you know.
So the investigation
you're talking about now is the investigation into the leak.
Right. And also our committee, the Public Services and Oversight Committee, is having the minister in, who will have had the benefit of seeing the report. And we've also requested the report. And I think let's take it step by step here. And, you know, John, if you have more information and you think it's relevant or beneficial or whatever, and it's in the public interest, well, then by all means, I'm not privy to that information, John.
Now pursuing a policy of silencing the press.
That's not even suggested.
Okay.
The minister, what you're suggesting.
Your story broke. It's not what I'm suggesting.
So once again,
you're rushing to conclusions on things.
Why would it be my interest?
I have no interest. I've already said my piece.
Okay, Mark Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, just on this conspiracy theory thing. It was the minister in the Dáil who said it's unfortunate that An Garda Síochána have found themselves during the last 48 hours the subject of what appears to be, I take it that appears is the operative word, to be completely baseless innuendo. Now, an organisation like the Irish Council for Civil Liberties is not a conspiracy theorist organisation. There are no tinfoil hats in my office. We have good relationships with the minister, we have good relationships with GSOC, and we have good working relationships with An Garda Síochána, and we value them. So I don't comment lightly. I don't venture comment lightly on this. But, I mean, it seems to me absolutely astonishing to pick up where I left off. If there hasn't been lawful surveillance, then the next obvious possibility in any investigation, any sensible investigation, has been that there might have been unlawful surveillance, but by rogue elements, as the chair of GSOC put it this afternoon, within An Garda Síochána. And I have great difficulty understanding why it is that the minister and or the Garda commissioner himself should take such great umbrage at that mere suggestion. It's a very natural suggestion that that might be a possibility. You don't take umbrage at it. Umbrage is not a management technique. It's perfectly possible that amongst the nearly 14,000 people who report to the Garda Commissioner that there are rogue elements that have been in the past and there will be again in the future. So another thing I'd like to know, which I think is a much bigger security issue than who gave a document to the Sunday Times, is what is being done by the Garda Commissioner to look into this evident possibility that rogue elements within An Garda are responsible for this. He doesn't need to wait, it seems to me, for GSOC to send him answers to four questions that he issued as a statement to begin to look into that. We've heard nothing about that. The first thing you do in any sensible investigation is you eliminate the obvious suspects. And Angarda lawfully or rogue elements unlawfully are the obvious suspects. So let's hear from the Commissioner, let's hear from the Minister, hopefully very soon, that this is being taken incredibly seriously and that innocent people whose reputations are possibly being called into to doubt by the evident fact that they are suspects, given that they have the capacity and potentially a motive, have been eliminated from the inquiry.
Poor
and then maybe possibly we can move on to something sensible.
Yeah, no, that's I don't disagree with a single word just said. I mean, the reality for the government is, and particularly for Minister Shatter, is they're going to have to seriously reflect on the last 18 months to 2 years of how they have responded to crises. The first one, of course, is the penalty points issue in terms of the two whistleblowers and how they were stonewalled and how they then took their concerns to the appropriate authorities. And, you know, the response of the minister was to go along with the discrediting the two whistleblowers, to have an internal investigation, to resist all calls for an independent investigation, to repeatedly resist calls for it going to GSOC, and then to have the Comptroller and Auditor General pretty much vindicate the scale of the problem according to the two whistleblowers, and then finally after going to the PAC, finally after it becoming a huge crisis, let's be honest about the Commissioner's performance, he then finally refers it to, at the very last resort, to GSOC, to an independent examination. Here we are again, and the government's default immediately is to say the people who are the victims or the people who are clearly under attack, you know, did something legally wrong. Now, let's be clear, the Taoiseach himself was clearly, he's not an expert in law. I'm sure he didn't go and look through the Garda Síochán Act to see what point they broke the law. Somebody told him it's section 80, subsection 5. That's where they've broke the law. That's where they've done it wrong. And he quoted it as the Taoiseach, the leader of our state, went out and quoted that to be, you know, that somebody else didn't check it just in case, and then to have it clearly dispelled because it says may rather than shall. So the instinct was so the story became for 2 days, GSOC behaved illegally, GSOC have been irresponsible, this is all a puff of smoke, and now today it's very, very clear that GSOC behaved honourably, they deserve the solidarity of the Irish people and support, and whoever is responsible for this attack on them, be it rogue elements or whoever, we need to find out who they are and bring them to justice.
Michelle.
Yeah, with respect, the Garda Ombudsman apologised, and he apologised that he hadn't said it sooner, and rather than it being because he didn't fulfil a duty he was obliged to, because the legislation says may, so it suggests discretion. But he also admitted today that this, in previous cases of a public interest investigation, he would have reported to the minister. And in this case, he didn't. And clearly, if the minister had been reported to, and perhaps even the Garda commissioner appraised of it, then there would have been answers on Sunday night, and we wouldn't be before the Dáil, that the minister would know what was going on, that these concerns lay with the ombudsman, and, you know, that things could have unfolded differently. But they haven't, and I believe that's why he apologised, and would have been appropriate for him to report, and that's with no disrespect to his discretion, but it is of such a serious nature that he might report such a situation to the minister. And, you know, in the realm here of you know, suggesting anything, which really, I think, undermines your case here that you have all this evidence and it surely must be related to the Gardaí, etc. I mean, suggesting that perhaps here we're really dealing with a situation that the minister has signed a warrant for the bugging or whatever else you want to call it, a surveillance of the Garda Ombudsman office is, you know, I think, you know, I just find that ridiculous. I mean, it's like you can say anything here. We don't need evidence. And, you know, as I say, I'm only commenting on the basis.
Not reporting something that by your own sort of rationale a little while ago, you're saying probably didn't happen. Do you want to get that story straight in your own mind first before you start making public pronunciations on it? I'm just fascinated by this new sort of approach that Fine Gael have developed towards this particular issue, because it seems to me it's very clear what's going on, which is we will assault the integrity of the Garda Ombudsman at all costs and shut this down. We had Enda Kenny misquoting legislation. The legislation, and trust me, I'm more familiar with it than you are, it gives the Ombudsman the discretion to approach the government in emergencies if it deems it necessary. They could not prove they were being surveilled because there was no physical evidence to bring to the DPP. That's the way it works. Now, when you're making references to that they should have came to the Department of Justice and told them what was going on, let's just take a little trip down memory lane from last year. They did go last year and furnish a quite an extensive investigation file on the collusion issue to Alan Shatter. Do you know what he did? Done nothing. Do you know what he's done in every other single allegation of police misconduct and other issues like this? He's done nothing. On the day he actually decided to publish the report into penalty points, he admonished the two whistleblowers on the plinth of the Dáil. I remember standing listening to this and being astonished by his attitude towards it. There was certainly issues with those two whistleblowers, but they had raised genuine concerns about determination of penalty points. He has done absolutely nothing in relation to these issues, and you would wonder why. Now, in terms of you had Enda Kenny misquoting the legislation, he's done, according to this, it's all baseless innuendo. By your own admission, sure, there's no proof of anything even happening. So what are you going to report? You can't have it every way. And then I find this absolutely astonishing that you're making references to an internal investigation into sources for the Sunday Times. Is this Labour and Fine Gael's new way of dealing with press freedom? You're trying to curtail freedom of the press. Is this a new sort of approach to rigorous debate in public life on matters of extreme importance?
Okay, Michelle, well, you know, in fairness, it's incidental to me whether it's the Sunday Times or whatever paper it is. People have jobs, they have responsibilities, and I believe that's what you're about
and
as well.
That
people
do
it. Sorry, excuse me.
Do you not think that's in the public domain?
People have jobs, they have responsibilities. If your job is to conduct yourself in a confidential fashion and you sign up to that, knowing the nature of your job, then I think there are ways of doing things. And leaking, second-guessing the Ombudsman in relation to what action he did or didn't decide to take, you know, that is questionable.
But do you think it's right that information should have been highlighted, the fact that there was a surveillance attack on the Garda Ombudsman? Simple answer, yes or no.
I've already indicated I believe that the Garda Ombudsman should have informed the Minister.
But
and
do you
I
think
don't
it should be in the public domain
that we're discussing this in the
people
fashion
of Ireland,
now.
Do you think the people of Ireland in this country have a right to know if their Garda Ombudsman was placed under surveillance or not?
I don't have any problem with that. What I'm saying is,
so why are you
for you,
an
for
you
are
into
suggesting
how that came about.
You are suggesting to me that there's clear-cut evidence here when there isn't. When the Garda Ombudsman himself, who was investigated, has said that it's inconclusive.
You can't have it every way in
okay.
terms of something
I,
doesn't
I want to play
happen
this clip of Mick Wallace because you've and Mark has referenced it about whether the surveillance was lawful or unlawful, and that is a question that independent TD Mick Wallace wanted to know of Simon O'Brien today. He wanted to know if any surveillance had been authorised.
In light of the Minister's very carefully worded findings that there was no definitive evidence of unauthorised technical electronic surveillance database in the office and databases had not been compromised, can you confirm whether you have received or sought unequivocal and categorical assurances from one, the Minister, and two, the Garda Síochána, as to whether any authorised lawful covert surveillance has been authorised on the GSOC or any part thereof since its creation in 2007?
I think we have investigated some suspicious activity in our building, and we have found no evidence of an offence. And I haven't asked those questions. And I think to ask those sort of questions could be very damaging to the relationship between us and An Garda Síochána and the Minister.
Well, I would be of the opinion that if you're not able to ask those questions, then we certainly do have a problem.
You share that opinion, Mark?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. I do. As I was saying, I think it's something to which a clear and unequivocal answer could be given. If there's been lawful surveillance, there would be a paper trail.
But Simon O'Brien's comments there that, you know, they didn't ask the questions, and if they did ask the questions, then the damaging nature of the relationship.
Well, you see, that brings me back to the question: has the minister asked the question? And I suspect if there is lawful surveillance, it's not a question of the minister signing something, but perhaps there's a district court warrant of some kind. At the very least, that's a point that needs to be cleared up. And another point that needs to be cleared up, and this is something else that came out strongly for me this afternoon, is a statement that Alan Chatto made in The Dáil. I'm informed that there was no specific concern which caused GSOC to organise the security sweep. And that also seems to have been contradicted during information that you received from GSOC this afternoon. Certainly over the course of the sweep or investigation by GSOC, the acting director of investigations did form the view that there was a potential surveillance
threat.
But
I suppose what we've listened back to that exchange between Niall Collins and Simon O'Brien, and Simon O'Brien just simply wasn't clear to Niall Collins in his answer that what he told Alan Chatto, whether he included that reference to the thoughts of the acting director
and of investigations. Michelle says that there's a written text of what he told the minister, so that also, I'm sure, will be very helpful and useful to your committee. But in terms of where we go from here, I really do think that we're heading fairly rapidly towards the ineluctable conclusion that there should be an independent investigation, because we're simply not getting to the truth of the matter. And despite your best efforts today, Porrick, and others on the committee, we're in real danger of going around in circles,
but
waiting for the next tailspin.
But Porrick McLaughlin, do you think even an independent investigation will yield much more than exists at the moment? If, as we've been hearing from John and from others, the evidence simply isn't there because of the nature of the surveillance?
Yeah, that's probably the saddest part of all of this, is that we may never know. We may never have the definitive evidence to convict somebody of this, but we have to try. We have to try. And, you know, I think ICCL have called for an independent judicial inquiry, is it the call? Or?
Well, we said of a judicial nature, you could imagine, for example, a senior counsel being appointed under the Commissions of Inquiries Act. So we're not talking about a massive tribunal that goes on for years and years. There are ways in which someone could be empowered to look into this.
I would defer to ICCL's expertise in this regard, but whoever does that would need to have, you know, available to them to people with the technical expertise to analyse and to follow up. But I do think now it's got to the point where we do need a full independent examination of all of this and everybody brought in to try to. I mean, it's just too serious now. I mean, our committee will continue with our work and we'll try to get more and more facts into the public domain. But, you know, as I say, my personal view and my party's view and Fianna Fáil, and it seems a growing number of people now are off the view we need an independent, I would defer, a judicial inquiry, something that it doesn't take years, something that gets to the nub of this as soon as possible.
John?
I'm not sure an inquiry is the way to go with this. I think that the way to really probe this, because I've worked in this area and I've written extensively and written books on intelligence matters and I know the systems, there is no paper trail on this activity. I know that. This type of operation, they're done in such a way to never leave traces. I think there was a few loose ends that, because there was a very good consultancy involved, were able to pick up on it. I think what's far more important now, and the main issue that's becoming very, very clear, is the administration of justice and political accountability in that sphere. At the moment, I don't think any layperson could disagree that Alan Chatto now, his position as a justice minister has to be called into a question. This individual, there's a confidential recipient, the most serious allegations have been made, no action whatsoever. If that happened in Britain, he'd be gone. It beggars belief that this is being ignored.
Well, if Alan Chatto says he's examining in detail these allegations.
That's very
about
good
the
of
confidential recipient.
But the fact of the matter is that these things are happening. The fact that we have our Garda Ombudsman subjected to a surveillance attack, the fact of the matter that we have a Justice Minister comes out and stands outside the Dáil and admonishing two police officers who, I have to say, there are other issues surrounding them, but feels confident enough to do that, that feels confident enough to walk into the Dáil Éireann yesterday in front of our Parliament and give a very, very partisan sort of statement that really conceals everything. If you compare what Simon O'Brien said today with Alan Shatter's comments and indeed Kieran Fitzgerald's comments on primetime, there is no comparison between them. One is move on, move on. So I think the government's credibility in terms of transparency is now shot. It's gone. People can see through it. And it's almost astonishing to think that the Labour Party are standing by and participating in this, and their silence on this matter is deafening. Where is the Pat Rabbits? Where is the Brendan Howlands? Where are these other Eamon Gilmore on the fact that we have the chairman of the Garda Ombudsman Commission standing before a Dáil committee this evening and stating that he believes there was a surveillance operation mounted on them? I mean, this stuff is just, when you think about it logically, it's almost incomprehensible that we have Enda Kenny and Alan Shatter attacking the Ombudsman and trying to damage them because they've been surveilled.
Michelle, do you reject that
outrightly. I mean, the situation is that the independence of the Ombudsman has to be upheld. And it's not a case that the minister or the Taoiseach is covering something. This matter took place before the Christmas. The sweep took place. Several sweeps have taken place. And several, if you want to call it sweeps, which constitute an investigation. And the Ombudsman came up with the idea that, I don't have evidence here. It's inconclusive. And now it's you're transferring that onto the Taoiseach and on to the Minister for Justice. I find that extraordinary.
Michelle, you don't have to defend the indefensible.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about what Enda Kenny said about the Garda Ombudsman having to level up and tell the Justice Minister about certain matters. I'm talking about Enda Kenny stating, misquoting legislation and saying the Ombudsman's office, basically accusing them of breaking the law, that they were required to give information to the government when they obviously didn't feel comfortable.
Look, I think for the ordinary person listening, that's, of course, legally, technically, you're correct. The Taoiseach wasn't being legalistic. The Taoiseach views this. The Taoiseach is not a lawyer. The Taoiseach quoted from his perspective.
Given a speaking notes by the Department of Justice by the Minister, clearly, which was just woefully wrong, and they let him down a bag full.
Sorry,
that's apparent. You know,
it's basically the Taoiseach was taking, as I would call it again, a common sense approach that if this sort of thing, if this report had been reported by the Ombudsman to the Minister for Justice, we wouldn't be in a situation where there's a gap in information which allows a lot of innuendo to be thrown around, a lot of suspicions and a lot of conspiracy theories. And that may have assisted some of the situation that we're in now, and we wouldn't be quite where we are.
Okay. Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really reflecting on the reason why I'm here, which is that I work for a human rights watchdog, and GSOC is an essential part of the human rights infrastructure and accountability infrastructure in this country. You know, I don't know how many of your listeners know just how lucky we are to have a body set up in the way that GSOC is set up. It's very unusual in Europe or worldwide to have a body that on paper and in statute has that form of independence. We're kind of used to it because there's a police ombudsman in the north as well. But in Europe and globally, it's very unusual. And in the past, it's been held up as a model of best practice, at least in terms of the legislation in its early years. And it's under attack. It's under attack, not just in terms of the electronic incursion that we've been hearing about today. Let's not call them bugs if they're not called bugs anymore. But it's under attack, I think, politically as well. And there's a re-victimisation of an independent body that has been the victim of surveillance. And as a human rights lawyer and someone who leads a human rights organisation in this country, I think that's disgraceful.
John, I just want to ask you, I mean, we're nearly at the end of the programme, but as we know, a lot of what Simon O'Brien was talking about today, he was talking about the report that was leaked how in his view it told a different story of the reasons for the sweep from his recollection, and he expects to read all about this in the paper on Sunday. Will he be reading that on Sunday?
Audrey, as you can imagine, someone in the branch wouldn't ask me a question like that.
they
wouldn't get very far. I can't. There's certain things I'm not going to say for legal reasons at the moment, because given what was being stated today, and which various journalists have said, I think it's quite clear we're taking some delight in there is some sort of criminal investigation into our inquiries and the stories that we have published in relation to this matter. But it should be said we'd numerous police inquiries into our investigations into Ciarán Boyle and affairs. So this is just the latest in a long line.
OK. Well, look, we are out of time. I just want to give you the front pages of tomorrow morning's newspapers. We just have the Irish Times and the Herald to hand, and both of those are leading with the weather. The Irish Times says over 200,000 left without power. A storm causes widespread disruption. And the Herald, Darwin destruction. Hurricane gusts of 177 kilometres per hour and 260,000 people without power. Well, look, we've had a robust debate tonight. I think we'll agree. And thank you all very much indeed for coming in and taking part. John Mooney of the Sunday Times, Sinn Féin TD Padraig McLaughlin, Michelle Mulheron of Fine Gael, and Mark Kelly, who is the Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. Late Debate is back at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Until then, from all the team, good night.